Hello there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I am once again joined by Tony Farina. Now, if you tuned in last week, you'll know that I spoke with Tony Farina last week. That was part one of the chat. This week is part two. And last week, we spoke about education and that sort of thing quite a bit. It was about sort of how the lockdown has affected education. My girlfriend Megan joined us as well. She's a teacher, so Tony and her sort of discussed quite a few things to do with education. So that's a really cool chat. This week, it's less specific and it's more sporadic. The subject matter changes quite frequently. It bops around here, there, and everywhere and returns to a couple of things. So this is much more of a standard conversation in a certain way. Now, I won't prattle on about everything that's discussed in this, but I'll give a couple of quick bullet points. Essentially, the chat starts where we're discussing how Tony and his partner, as well as myself and Megan, have been dealing with the lockdown, being in a relationship and spending so much time with each other. We talk about passing down interests to children. We talk about Star Wars a fair amount as well, that kind of in drips and drabs in a sense. We don't specifically just chat about Star Wars like an hour straight or anything like that. We just kind of speak about that a bit here and there. We speak about back in the day, in air quotes, when we used to make mixtapes, mix CDs and things before music streaming was a thing. We speak about Megan's birthday because she had it in lockdown, a few other bits and pieces, and that's kind of the general sort of subject matter that we discuss. And there's not really much else to add without me just rambling on at the start for ages. So before the chat does get started, though, there will be a quick promo for the Comics in Motion podcast. If anyone is listening who listened last week, it's the same promo. I'm just doing it again because, you know, Tony and I didn't really talk about Indie Comics Spotlight very much, which is Tony's own show. It is on the Comics in Motion podcast feed, as well as my other show, Star Wars Comics in Canon. We didn't really talk about Indie Comics Spotlight at all in this chat, except right at the very end. So I thought I'd include the promo for Comics in Motion twice, just so I could have this little prefacey thing to say, go check out Indie Comics Spotlight. It's a great show. I appeared on episode 13 of it. Me and Tony speak about The Second Coming, which is literally a comic about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I had a lot of fun doing that, and there's a link to that in the description. Anyway, enough from me. As I said, the chat will get going after the promo, and then I'll be back at the end to talk about what's coming up, a bit more details of what's happening this week in Star Wars Comics and Canon, and a few other bits and pieces. So thank you so much for listening, guys. I appreciate you sharing on social media and all that lovely stuff. So I'll talk to you guys at the end.
We are Comics in Motion.
I'm Dave, the comic nerd.
And I'm Chris, the TV and movie geek.
You can download our show from your favourite podcast catcher.
We review TV shows and movies that are based on comic books.
So if you can come along and join in the fun, that'd be super.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton.
As a teacher, as you know, and I remember you saying once, Megan, that you're always acting. I think you said that.
Oh, yeah. You have to act.
And so, for me, doing the work, I love the work. I love to teach. I love to help people. I got an email from a student who just graduated, and I had her from her first class, and now I had her in her final class. And it was just like such a nice email for her to be like, hey, man, I'm really glad you were there. I was so thrilled that when I saw your name as my final instructor, and I, you know, having you as my first teacher really helped me ease in. So I love the work. You know, and when I was teaching on ground and you get to, you know, you get up and you be in front of everybody, and I've never been nervous. I was in a shitty punk band in college. I'm not afraid of being in front of people. I don't have that fear of public speaking, but like after that, after all the peopleness, I need to come home and like not. And my wife's the same way. She's a librarian, you know, and there's fucking people everywhere. So for us, we just like to be. So this has not been that big of an adjustment for us, because like every weekend, we were the worst tourists. We would go on vacation, and like the first time we went to Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, which is, where did you go when you were here? Did you go to Hilton? Did you hit that?
I didn't go to South Carolina. I went to North Carolina, because that's actually where my friend Mary is from.
Right. Yeah, but there's those like the border islands there all along are just beautiful out there. So we went down, we took a stack of books, we turned the couch in the condo we were renting to face the water. And that's what we did for like 4 days. And it was like, what'd you guys do? Where'd you go? Did you go do blah? We're like, we went up in that water tower in the lighthouse, and we sat. I went shopping. I bought food. We cooked in the house. Like, this is our lives. So it's pretty easy. This has been an easy transition for us, because we genuinely like each other. And we were both married previous before meeting each other. And didn't care for those other people, obviously. So you kind of learn that lesson. And so I feel bad for people who realize that they're in bad relationships right now, but I guess that's a good thing, is that as long as people can keep their cool. But for us, you know, we like each other. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a day, like, something stupid happens on the news, or something stupid happens. We hear some asshole out on our balcony making noise, and I look at her and I'm like, I only like you. you know, so we really, I feel like we're in a really lucky situation. I was wondering, as you were saying how bored you were, what is your digital library situation in England? Like, for us, I have access to literally hundreds of thousands of digital books, audiobooks, and regular books through my libraries. I have like 4 library cards. Do you guys have that as an option?
I have become very, very lazy with reading. I used to read so much. Like, I've got a Kindle. I have a Kindle that has so many books on there.
Yeah.
But I've become really lazy, so I need to really get back into it. We have access to loads of stuff. Like, I mean, there's tons of free books on Amazon.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true. They do that.
Because they have the Kindle reading thing. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, I think you get it.
Right, there's a hint.
As an added. But yeah.
What's that with me?
Tons of podcasts and stuff like that as well.
Even I don't really read that much. I've just been reading Star Wars books. Like, I stopped reading for years.
I used to read so much.
It's basically, as soon as I grew up and I... let's try that again, because that sounds really patronizing. Jesus. I don't mean like I grew up out of books. When I moved out from home, when I could basically, you know, do whatever I wanted all the time, it was, you know, when I moved out, it was a year after my dad passed away. So I was dealing with a lot of stuff. So I was eating loads of bad stuff, consuming a lot of various intoxicants that I shouldn't have been. And I kind of just lost the will to read a little bit. I think I read like one book in the space of like 3 years. And because I would stay up till the last conceivable moment every night before work. Like, when I was at work, completely fine. I would never let my personal life or issues get in the way of my work. I was always excel at that, but especially on the weekend, I would go at things hard. But in the week, I would just stay up till like the 11th hour, literally. So I'd have to get up for work for like 7:45 or something. So I'd be like, I can survive on 6 hours sleep. I can survive well on 6.5 hours sleep. So I'll aim for 6.5 hours sleep. And that, it'd be like 1 a.m. and I'd be going to bed at that time, because I'd be making sure I play video games to the last possible moment, or watching TV and doing all these things. And I just kind of went off reading. And then it's only since I've really been living with Megan, which has been nearing a year now, that I've got fully back into reading a lot more, because our sleep schedule, primarily. Like, we go to bed together.
I'm a sleepy girl.
Together and we like to, you know, cuddle, and then she goes to bed.
I'm a teacher, so I'm always tired. Like,
and our schedules are slightly different as well.
It takes me, I work an hour away from where we live.
Okay, smokes. You drive or you take the train?
I drive. So I car share. We carpool, me and another girl who lives near me. But we leave at 7:45 in the morning to get to work for like 7:30, 7:45. So I realistically need to be in bed by like 10. Otherwise, because I wake up at 6. So it's just, whereas Mike doesn't have to get up until a little bit later. So for him to go to bed that early, it's just, it's too much sleep.
I haven't slept. I haven't gone to bed. Like, now I'm going to bed generally earlier with Megan, because sometimes I get up early and things like that. So my sleeping schedule is becoming more lenient. But it used to be I could not sleep before 12. So for about 4 or 5 years, from the age of probably 16 till, it's probably longer than that then, from probably 16 to about 24, I would never sleep before 12 midnight. Unless I'd had like an all-nighter, or if I was ill or something like that. Because I'd normally be getting up at like 7:30, 8:00. And that was the majority of my life. And now I go to bed sometimes earlier, depending. If we go to bed and it's like 11-ish, I may just go to sleep, but if I'm quite tired. But if we go to bed at like 10:30, I will never fall asleep at 10:30. So I'll then read, but I'll read until like 1, because I'll get caught up in it.
Yeah.
So late.
The problem with me is I get, with reading, my parents used to moan at me so much. I used to have this globe light that I used to have. So it was a globe made of plastic, and you click on it, it glows, and it's perfect for reading. It's really nice. It wasn't too harsh or anything. And I left it on so many times falling asleep reading that the light bulb melted inside where Antarctica was.
It wasn't designed to be on that long.
No, exactly. Because I'd be reading and fall asleep with it. So it'd be on for like 7 or 8 hours till I wake up in the morning when I was younger. And so the top like melted where Antarctica was, so it'd melt brown, ironically. And My parents used to, if I was reading it, like, I'd know when they come to bed. So they'd send me to bed. This is when I was a bit younger, like preteen. They sent me to bed, and I'd know I'd have about an hour or two before they'd come to bed. So I'd read for about an hour and a half, hear the movement, flick off the light, wait for them to go to bed, flick the light back on and continue reading. Mum would go to the toilet like 1-2 in the morning, and I'd hear the knock on my door, and it's like, oh no. And Mum's like, why are you still up? Why are you reading? It's like 2 in the morning, and I'm just reading whatever. I used to be like that a lot.
It's so late.
Our kids are going to be like that. Our kids are going to... we keep joking, because obviously, we talk about having, like, not yet, but generally talk about, like, having two kids, but...
Yeah, definitely not yet.
Not at all. And we like talking about, like, funny things where it's like, if Megan... you do like this jokey moany voice thing that you do, and I do these jokey things as well, and like we mess with each other, and sometimes it's like, oh, our kids are going to be so annoying.
They are going to be really annoying. They're going to be really annoying, and they're going to have really curly hair.
Because I have a niece who's like a lot like me, who's she is a lot like I was when I was younger, and she's such a know-it-all.
Yeah,
and my sister-in-law blames it on me.
Nice.
She's like, it's because of you. And that's what I think with our, it's not going to turn out that way, but almost like one's going to be like you and one's going to be like me, and they're both going to get on my nerves equally.
One's going to love Harry Potter and the other one's also going to love Harry Potter, and they're going to hate Star Wars.
That's not going to happen.
Well, it's funny with Star Wars, because I grew up, you know, I never forced it. I never made my kids like all the nerdy geek stuff that I like, except for Buffy.
I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've never seen it.
It's so good. Amazing.
I raised them on Buffy. They were little, and there's a network here called TNT, and it would just show it on, you know, because they were obviously too young. It wasn't on anymore, but it was on reruns. So we'd just watch it every day. It was just on every day. And I kind of raised them on Buffy, and the episode when Buffy dies at the end of season five, which they thought was going to be the end of the show, and then it switched networks. I told them before it came on, I'm like, look, they were little. They were, and I said, listen, but you guys, my two girls. So I've got girls and Lee's got kids. My wife's called Lee, and we blended them together. We didn't have any kids together. So it's just me and my two girls. And I was like, listen, girls, Buffy's going to die in this episode, but then the next episode tomorrow, she's brought back. It's going to be okay. But because the way that episode is shot, you don't know that. Like they sobbed. Like they were so upset, even though I told them in advance. So other than that, I didn't, with Star Wars and everything, it was like, if they wanted to watch it, comic books, probably only the music that I listened to. Like they have a really odd, my kids have an odd eclectic taste. When they were like 6 and 7, they could name all the Ramones. So I felt like that was really important. The Ramones made a movie called Rock and Roll High School, which they watched a lot, and which is a terrible movie, but I loved it. And so they watched it a lot. And I put like in one of the places we lived, I hung swings from the basement rafters. So they'd go downstairs and swing and watch a movie. So they watched a Ramones movie, and they watched the Beatles movies. So, but as far as like the nerd culture stuff, I kind of let them come to it. And now, my one of my daughters is a huge Harry Potter fan. The youngest one loves Neil Gaiman and has all the Sandman comics. So I kind of just let them, when they'd get interested and ask, I'd do that. So none of them are as big as Star Wars fans. I mean, no one in the world is as big as a Star Wars fan, Burton. That's a fact.
The worst thing is that it's rubbing off on me, though.
But it's okay.
It is okay. However, it does cause more tangents in classes. Like, so I've got a water bottle, and I put some Star Wars stickers on it just because it was a plain grey bottle, and I just wanted to make it, like, look nicer. But... there was one episode. Where there was one kid where he kept saying Luke Skywalker is dead. He just kept repeating it, and I was just like, I mean, technically, like he's not. But like, they were just interested in the fact that I liked Harry. But they already know that I like Harry Potter, but Star Wars. So they were like, oh, like you like Star Wars? I'm like, yeah, I do like Star Wars. And they're like, oh, what's this planet called? Where does this person come from? And then I say the answer, and they're just like, oh my God, you do like Star Wars. And I'm like, why is this such a surprise? And then like loads of kids put their hand up, and I was like, okay, if you've got any questions, pop your hand up. And then loads of people did. And I was like, that's a bit weird. Why are so many of you got your hand up? And I was like, if it's about Star Wars, can you put your hand down? And then like the majority of them put their hands down. And I was like, okay. I was like, if you want to talk to me about Star Wars, you can wait until lunch and talk to me about it then. And then I said that thinking nobody would stay behind and talk to me about Star Wars. And then like three girls stayed behind, and I was like, go away. I want to eat my lunch. I've got 20 minutes. They're like, have you seen The Mandalorian? I'm like, yes, I've seen The Mandalorian.
I actually haven't watched it. We only, we're like rotating all of our streaming services during this time. So we turned Disney Plus on for just a week because it was a week for free. And we watched a few things. And then because I felt like season two was getting ready to come out. And I just think I'm going to wait to pay for a month of that till the fall. Mandalorian, two seasons of Mandalorian will be out. And Bucky and Sam will be out. Falcon and the Winter Soldier will be out. So I feel like I'll get involved then. Yeah, but I think it's funny that you guys said, you know, this is what your kids will like. And I think that's true to a degree. You know, there's certain songs. Our oldest daughter, she knows a bunch of songs that she doesn't know that she knows. So we'll be like listening, like my wife's favorite band is Fleetwood Mac. So we'll be listening to something. And we'll be listening to something and she'll just like interrupt herself and like start singing along and not realize that she knows every word to that, you know, because she just heard it growing up. So it's funny what they pick up and what they don't. And I just always found that this is just me with the kids is if you try desperately to get them to like the thing that you love and then they don't, you can be just, then there's like, you're creating an instant set of friction there. Whereas if you're just like, hey, this is on, I'm going to watch Batman 89. You're welcome to watch it or not. And then they will or they won't. So my wife and I are big Jane Austen fans, like huge Janeites, like these books here. You can see this is great for podcast listeners. These are these are illustrated covers of the main six novels, and we actually true have a full set of Jane Austen books in every room in the house.
It's a fact. That's amazing.
And yeah, but
there was the biggest book nerds on the planet. I love them.
There's a Bollywood version of Pride and Prejudice called Bride and Prejudice, and it's in English, but it's. It is so fantastic. Like, I can't express to you how much, like, I feel like the first time we watched it, we're like, okay, Jane would sit up and like dig herself out of her grave to applaud this. It's that fun. And so we were on a vacation. We used to take our kids on these trips. We called them secret trips where we would just throw them in the car and then take them somewhere. And they didn't know where we were going. And then we're like, here you are. And then we'd spend a week there or whatever. So we were on one of these. And we brought Bride and Prejudice to watch because we thought, oh, they were all like lame, boo. And by the end, they were all like huddled around the TV. I loved it. So it's just like, we put it on and we're like, okay, we're going to watch it. You guys do whatever you want. And once the music starts, because you know how Bollywood is always a musical. So they were completely engrossed. So I always just kind of found we liked what we liked and we watched what we wanted to watch. And if they got interested, so my wife's oldest daughter, our oldest daughter, got big into Buffy and then ended up, I loaned her all my DVDs of Buffy and she ended up watching them all and watched, you know, but it was when she was ready to do it. So
yeah.
Like nerd culture is such a weird thing because we want to hand it down. Like you and your dad have that Star Wars thing, but I don't know that that's always true. I don't know that it always works. Like it's beautiful that it worked for you guys, you know, and I don't know
the thing is he didn't like Star Wars anyway near as much as I do now. Like he liked it. I think he quite modeled himself after Han Solo. I think he liked to think of himself as Han Solo quite a lot. Because he loved Harrison Ford. So he loved Indiana Jones and he loved Han Solo. Looking back, I can see certain mannerisms that I know I've picked up from certain TV shows or this, that, and the other that he picked up from seeing, you know, Star Wars because he was born 49, so Star Wars is 77 or 78. Oh, I always get the release date 77. Of the first one confused. It was 77, yeah. And
I was four, so I got it.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, so obviously, Dad at that point was like 18. So he that sort of age of where, for me, when I was a bit younger, it was more so, but that kind of role model things. When you're coming out of a teenager and that sort of thing, you have quite a few things to kind of that influence you quite a lot. And so I think Dad picks up a lot of that stuff from Harrison Ford, but. I remember once he actually said randomly, he was like, oh, we're talking about George Lucas. And he's like, he's a nut job. And I was like, is he? And he's like, yeah, he believes all this stuff. And I'm like, I was young then. And I was like, I don't think he does. He sold the rights to Disney. I don't think if that was the case, but he'd heard it somewhere randomly. And then for some reason that just stuck. And obviously at that point, this is when I was like 12 or something. There wasn't the internet to correct that sort of thing. That's just a fun anecdote that I think I've said on the podcast before about Dad and Star Wars, but he liked it a lot. And my tattoos represent his enjoyment of them, but also my enjoyment of enjoying Star Wars with him. You know, with me and kids, if my kids don't like Star Wars, that's fine. I'm not gonna force it upon them because I know that.
We'll sell those ones.
The more you try and force and push, you'll
like,
sell them.
Sorry, you gotta move out. The ones that don't like Star Wars, they'll be sold.
Give them a test at 10, and if they don't like Marvel or DC or comics, they don't like Star Wars, they don't like Harry Potter, or they don't like.
If they don't know Hogwarts house they're in by 10, on the street,
yeah,
out, gone. You know,
scram.
And if they haven't tried, if we haven't caught them trying to use the Force on something by the age of 14, they can't out, you know. But no, obviously, the thing is with me, I imagine or hope more kind of is the case. Obviously, where I have Star Wars tattoos, kids, there's one cute thing I saw online, which was a couple of those tattoo artists, and they're covered head to toe in ink. And they had a conversation with their daughter, and their daughter was like 5 or something. She was like, when do the pictures start showing on my skin? And they're like, and they had to explain it to them. And then she got so into, because obviously mine especially are quite bright colours. So they're quite eye-catching. So when we have kids, I imagine they'll see, because this is going to be finished, I imagine, by the time we have kids, or more finished. So they'll see every day I've got this thing. And if they ever ask, obviously I'll talk about their granddad and things.
Sure.
So with me, I hope that will cause something. But I know my biggest hurdle with getting into Star Wars is if you start them with episode one, I think that's probably the worst one, but then a lot of other people think episode two is the worst one. So first two Star Wars films that are the worst, or you start with 4 and 5.
That's what you have to do.
5, I think, is one of the best. But the problem is 4 is so fucking old, and that's now. You got to think 15 years in the future how much more old it's going to feel. And you look like, even when we watched it, like.
But I mean, actually, there's a teacher at work, and he teaches media. So they look at films, and he said that Star Wars, when he used to teach media when he was a younger teacher, Star Wars used to always be the thing that was common. Like, everyone had seen Star Wars. So he could refer to Star Wars, make reference to the necessary, like,
visual effects
and whatnot, talk about that stuff and how it develops plot and whatever, and everyone would understand what was going on. Whereas now he's saying that it's really difficult to find a common film. Like, not everyone has seen Star Wars. Like, there was a student that was telling me, and she was like, oh, ma'am, in my school they call us ma'am. But she was like, oh, ma'am, we watched Star Wars in media today. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, what one? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, what happened? And she was like, well, beep, beep, boop was helping someone. And I was like, okay, so that's R2-D2.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And she was like, so beep, beep, boop was with some weird monsters and the girl with the buns in her hair. And I was like, okay, Princess Leia. I was like, right, okay. And then I went and spoke to Graham. I was like, Graham, you know that the kids are referring to R2 as like beep, beep, boop. And he was just like, yeah.
That's awesome.
They just didn't have that.
There's no common thing.
The streaming services.
But there's no common thing at all. Like, for me, I used to think, like, in America, there was like a literary canon that we would read no matter where you went, no matter where you lived in the country, you could count on. And not that all of these books are for children, but they became like young adult books before that became a thing. So everyone, in theory, should have read Huck Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, Gatsby, Catcher in the Rye, Hamlet.
A Voice of Men?
Of Mice and Men, sure.
That's
Animal Farm.
Yeah,
we've
Animal
got,
Farm.
I think, a similar list over here as well.
Yeah, so you could assume if there were people of a certain age, everyone had read these books. And as I became a teacher, and I could do exactly what you're saying, Megan, I could say like, okay, in 1984, when this happens and Julia says blah, or when Boxer says this, I can work harder. I could make that reference. And that just isn't the case anymore. And so there's so many things that I'll try to make a reference to in my classes now, where I'll like say, okay, well, let's think about this. You know, I'm pre-recording my lectures, or I'm typing up notes that, you know, I'm just doing it in the abstract thinking there's a common thing, but there is no such thing anymore. So anything I want my students to all understand, I have to assign it. They all have to read it, or they all have to watch it, or whatever, because it's almost like there's too much stuff.
Yeah.
It's impossible to see everything. We're slowly going through the Apple Plus stuff now that came out months ago. And then, you know, we'll move on and try. I don't remember the last time we watched anything in real time that wasn't sports or music related. You know, like shows.
Our last thing was Eurovision.
We don't even have a TV license.
We haven't watched any
Eurovision,
live TV.
Yeah. Eurovision
last
year.
And that was in our
last
house when we did have a TV license. Just in our last house, yeah. But we haven't had it.
I don't remember the last time I watched live TV.
It's not connected. Not connected to our TV license.
So there's no common experience anymore. So I don't think it's just Star Wars. And I think you're right. Star Wars probably was the last movie that was true. Maybe E.T.
I think Harry Potter for our generation.
And Finding Nemo as well.
I think Toy Story is the biggest.
Yeah. Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, I think for our generation, so the millennials, it was very much, it was Harry Potter and it was...
Because the thing for me is that when I think of Star Wars, if I thought, less so now because I've experienced the world, I guess, more, but like... If I were to think of Star Wars, I would think of The Phantom Menace, because that's the one that I grew up with. I would think of the pod racing, and I would think of Jar Jar Binks, and like...
I think of Attack of the Clones, because that's the one I watched the most as a kid.
Yeah.
Whereas that's like sacrilege compared to like some people.
You know, I don't know, though. I mean, I listened to, obviously, the crossover shows that you guys did, and there was a lot of shitting on there going on. And I've said this in our private chats, and I'll say it to anybody who listens. And my show that comes out this Friday, there's a little Star Wars, because we're talking about a George Takei's book, so we talk about Star Trek and Star Wars a little bit. But it's, because my earliest memory of Star Wars, it doesn't matter. Like, I enjoyed them all. I don't, like, I can objectively say the original, the prequel trilogy are not very good, because... of lots of reasons, but I think mostly because Hayden Christensen's terrible.
That's what you think.
I can't stand him. I can't deal with that film.
I think he's terrible in his two performances. There's lots of other problems, but I still think that Ewan McGregor's good. I think Natalie Portman's good. I think there's some good things that are in there, and that's just my opinion. In the new trilogy, I enjoyed thoroughly. I think Daisy Ridley is ready to be James Bond if they want her to be, or John Boyega. Honestly, if either one of those two were cast as James Bond, I would be super excited, because I both think they have big presences. And so to me, no matter what Star Wars is, of the main nine, I like them all. I liked Solo fine. It wasn't great, but it didn't suck. I own it.
That's how I feel. I was like,
I didn't mind Solo. I think
Solo is like the dead middle ground, because I found that there was no moment in there that I was like, oh man, that's awesome. But there was also no moment in there that I was like, oh man, this sucks. It was always like, this is quite good. I think something's about to happen. And then it finished. And I'm like, okay, watch it again. I'm like, right, now I don't expect more to happen, I enjoy it more. But even with my thing with the prequels, I think the prequels are so, so up and down. I think that's the problem, is like, throughout them, is like, I find each of them, I love all of the endings to the prequels. I think the Darth Maul lightsaber fight is some amazing choreography.
Oh,
I think
my God, that was stunning.
Yeah, and with Attack of the Clones, I think that once they are in Geonosis and there's the big monster things all fighting them, and they have to get out of the chains, they don't have the lightsabers, is quite cool, and then all the Jedi show up. All that stuff I love, and the Count Dooku fight with CGI Yoda, love it. And the end of Revenge of the Sith is one of my favourite cinematic things ever. Duel of Fates playing with Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor fighting. I understand Hayden Christensen is not a very good actor in those roles, but because I watched them from such a young age, over and over again, episode 2 I had on VHS, so I would just fast forward the Padme and Anakin love scenes and just go straight to...
Because they're dull.
Because they're shit. And I would go into
no
the
chemistry. You think
no,
they would...
Zero.
Since they had already hired Natalie Portman, who is a great actor. She's genuinely fantastic in everything she's in. Even in the bad movies she's in, she's good. She was an excellent child actor. She's so good. So you would think they would have screen tested the two of them and been like, let's get someone who has, because you're already in. Natalie Portman was already signed. So let's find someone who she can act with a little, who you could believe they like each other. Because you watch that and there's zero reason why. That's my only problem with those. It's like, why does she like him? They seem to hate each other as soon as they walk in the room.
And also, he just seems really creepy.
He does.
I dream about you. I think about you in my dreams. You're half as beautiful
as I
remember.
I've never stopped thinking about you, Padme.
But you know,
right,
if that's done well, if that is done well, that's like, that's an old-timey, you know, gothic romance. I mean, that's okay. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with him saying that line if it was in the hands. And I can't even think about how old he is to go back to that time and think, like, what other actors were around at that time who maybe were comparable
in
to his
2000s,
age.
God. Yeah,
you know, so right, who was in there... 20s who could play a teenager and then play a 20 something in that time. He was just really terrible, and I think that's the problem there. But I think ultimately what the beauty of being a fan, in my opinion, no matter what you love, whether it's Harry Potter or Star Wars or whatever, or Jane Austen as it is in our house, is that you like you love the thing because you do, and you can, it's hard to always explain to me. and I know this, and this is not, you guys are in England, so maybe everybody there thinks so, although I probably not true. I think Jane Austen wrote 6 perfect novels. Like, it's hard for me to poke holes in any of them, because I think even the ones that everybody hates, I love. And and it's because the language is beautiful and the stories are great. And all, most of the film adaptations are crappy. There's a few that are great. It's the same thing with Star Wars. You love the characters. You love them because you do. You have an emotional connection for whatever reason. Like, Megan, you have an emotional connection to them because of Mike.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So those are attached forever. Star Wars, is you're going to think about him. And I just think, you know, the beauty of being a fan is, yes, you can be critical. And that's what I loved about your guys' crossover shows, is that you guys were all still fans. Nobody left saying, burn Star Wars down. I hope they never make another movie.
Yeah, I'm one of the biggest Star Wars fans, but I know the flaws in and out.
Yeah. But it was hard to listen to. I mean, I like all you guys very much. Of course, I listened. But it was also hard. And sometimes, because it's like, well, I hear all those things. But sometimes, this is where I think George Lucas is right, let's just enjoy these as kids' films. Maybe they all don't have to be the deep Joseph Campbell stuff that we've forced on them. Is that there if you want it to be? Absolutely. And do things deserve a critical read? Of course. But sometimes you just want to be like, I'm just going to take my brain out and I'm going to watch Jedi. I don't have to think or worry. There is nothing about, from the beginning of Jedi, there's almost no stakes in Jedi. You know, even though it seems like there's a lot of stakes, and John Williams' score makes you feel like things are nervous, There's Ewoks. Everything's going to be okay. Soon as you introduce a bunch of teddy bears.
That's her favorite film. Yeah.
I love
right?
the Ewoks.
And so you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to take this out and I'm going to stare, turn my head to the side, and I'm just going to be full of love. And I think that's what Star Wars is like, you can be critical of it, but you can also, even in Sith.
Exactly. And I mean, like with me, one of the things I've said about it is, there's the two parts to that, which is, one thing is, when I watch Revenge of the Sith, the Obi-Wan Anakin stuff does actually make me emotional, because I've seen so much of the expanded content.
Three.
Yeah, yeah. She knows all the episode numbers.
I know them by the numbers, not by the names.
Sure, sorry.
It's no, she got a Jedi. No,
I am getting better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was like, I find that when I watch Return of the Jedi, I love the emotional connection. I love him shouting at each other and them to, you know, you're my brother, Anakin, blah, blah. That makes me emotional. But the thing I love the most, genuinely, I say this to people, is my favorite thing. Revenge of the Sith is one of my favorite films ever. One of my favorite bit is just watching the amazing choreography in real time of Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, because you watched the behind the scenes of that shit.
They did
that. You watch them go, duh, 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 and they're actually doing it. And it's like, when you're watching it and you're letting yourself, there's loads of flaws and styles, there's loads of inconsistencies, there's loads of problems with it. It's definitely not a perfect universe. But it's, in my view, the biggest that all interconnects without multiverse, because obviously comics rule that era. But it's this huge universe, and yeah, okay, the Hayden Christensen acting wasn't that great, but when I remember Darth Vader and Anakin and Obi-Wan, I don't think, it doesn't flash to, I hate sand. It, you know, it flashes to, there's incredible set pieces with the John Williams, you know, stuff going over it. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's course of rough, and it gets everywhere.
John Williams is the star, though. Yeah, I mean, let's acknowledge, John Williams is the star of the all 9 movies.
The music of Star Wars, like, I play it, when we're doing the Lego Millennium Falcon and stuff, it's...
I haven't seen any pictures of that.
We've been taking time.
We're like 3/4 of the way through it.
We've had 2 sessions, which are
both
4 hours long.
I'm so excited to see you guys. I can't wait to see that.
I have a picture of what it looks like now on my phone.
Well, I could probably grab it.
No, it's fine. I know you said you're going to put it all up.
It is there. We've got time-lapse videos. We've done 2
I can't wait to see those. Yeah.
And then we've got another 2-hour session we're probably going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be done tomorrow.
Nice.
And then we're going to put the videos together.
Then you'll post them. Okay, cool. Let me know when you do.
I've got photos as well. Yeah, I'll do a 2-pronged post probably. Just one of the time-lapse video, and then one of, like, I've taken photos at every landmark, essentially.
Yeah. To me, that's a great way to spend time, you know, to do something.
Well,
like
I'm
that.
I'm already like, what Lego should we get next month? Like the monthly Lego.
Because it wasn't the suit. We got the Millennium Falcon, and it wasn't the. Cause you can get the brand new one, and that's £600 to get
shit.
It. Which so obviously dollars is basically like 10-ish% at the moment.
This one was £150, so it's still expensive.
But between
like,
us, it's like 10 hours for like
reasonable.
You know. 75 quid each.
That's
it's not
good.
Too bad. That's like a whole day. And it's like, if we've gone to stage performances, when we want to see Billie Eilish, like, which it's probably going to be rescheduled now, that's 75 quid each. And that's for like basically 2.5 hours.
A concert, no?
So most of the concerts I like to go to are smaller bands that are normally 30 quid. So I kind of wince when we spend more money than 30 quid. But
the thing is that the way that I justified it is that obviously I drive an hour well, to and from. So two hours a day in a week, a work week. So realistically, I'm spending between £150 and £200 a month on petrol anyway.
Yeah. So, and I'm spending about...
Paying for the Millennium Falcon didn't actually lose me any money because it's money that I would have spent on petrol regardless. So
it's fun to do something that isn't... it's fun to do something that isn't consuming content. Like, even reading is a much more... almost a therapeutic way of consuming content, in my view, and it lets your mind unravel in different ways. But watching stuff, playing stuff, putting Lego together is, it's expensive, but Lego always works. You lose track of time. And it is so nice. We just sit there just for 2 hours, and all we're doing, we don't talk about anything.
What are you listening to?
Apart from pieces. Lego.
Well, yeah, but music on. That's it. We talk on a playlist.
What's on in the background?
I normally play like Star Wars to begin with for like the first 15 minutes, just like Jewel of Fates. And there's a band called Galactic Empire, and they're a metal band who only cover Star Wars songs. And they've put together quite a few. There's one called Boba's Theme, I think it is. And it's like 6.5 minutes long. And it's all these different parts of different things. And it's an original piece, but it's all kind of using elements from lots of songs. They're really, really cool. They've got two albums out. And it's just like more guitar-y, more strong, in a sense, less symphonic versions. And then... we've just got this playlist that I made ages ago when we first started dating. It was basically when you went to America, wasn't it?
Yeah, you made it for when I went to America.
Which was only 2 weeks or 3 weeks after we met. It's called M&M, as in M, ampersand. Mm-hmm. And it originally started where I just put music in there that I thought she would like watching in America. So I put like Pierce the Veil, and I think I put that Weezer song, Do You Want to Get High? Like things like that. I know you love Weezer.
The other one. I really like the other one as well.
Oh, Girl, We Got a Good Thing.
Yeah,
both tracks on the White Album.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And so made this playlist, and now it's on like 600 songs, but then it was only about 100. And
but back then it was just Mike putting songs in. Now I also contribute music. Nice.
You do it when we drive places, or we go anywhere, or we're just doing
then
anything.
Then you just hit shuffle.
In the background. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's just a happy medium, because it's music that we both like.
Because I'm old. You know, I actually had to make, back in the day, back in my... youth, I would actually have to make mixtapes, and then I would have to make mix CDs. And I actually still like to do that. The CD player,
CDs.
The CD player in my Jeep is actually broken, but I actually like to do that. I like the idea of these are the 22 songs or whatever you get, and you have to think about it. And they're always in the same order. And so it's funny. There's even still today songs from like tapes I made in middle school that when I hear a song, I automatically, my brain still wants the next song that was on that
we
mix.
We do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a lot of fun.
Me and my brother used to make CDs for when we, because obviously my parents are divorced, so we go to Italy to visit my dad for over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother would always make 2 or 3 CDs each to take over with us so that we could listen to our own music in my dad's car.
Nice. Yeah, well, I was just looking to see where it was. I thought it was still sitting here. Not that, again, it's a video. We're looking at each other, listeners, but I have.
Oh, wow. An old Philip Walkman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. My old Walkman. And so this was mine from childhood. It still works. I have Paul McCartney's Unplugged cassette inside there.
Nice.
And I that was such a big deal for me, is having headphones. I always hate to listen to other people talk. Always. I don't want to be in public and hear you say the word incorrectly. I don't want to talk to you. So as my whole life I've been able to have headphones. I'm really lucky that way. Like the old, you know, what they show in Guardians of the Galaxy, that was my setup. And so there's just pictures of me. Even as a little kid, I would go downstairs in our parents' house and play like old Beach Boys albums. And I would have the big, like these headphones I have on, but big over ear headphones, just lay.
My dad had them. Yeah.
I would just lay on the beanbag chair or whatever on the ground and just listen to like Pet Sounds. Or like Surfing USA for like hours and just be left alone. And still, I don't ever leave the house without headphones, because I can't imagine having to not have like a soundtrack to whatever I'm doing.
I'm very similar. Like if I walk, especially in town in Southampton, it's quite a densely populated city. It's one of them. There's only two cities in the UK that the difference between a city and a town is, if you have a town and it has a cathedral, it is a city. That's the only difference. And so... in England, the only two cities that are cities due to size is Plymouth and Southampton, because they're so huge, you couldn't possibly call it a town. So it's 230,000 people in Southampton, which did
not... To be honest, it's quite surprising that Southampton doesn't have a cathedral.
Yeah, it is quite odd. But we've got quite a few churches. Well, a lot of different churches, all the Latter-day Saints churches and Christ of Delphi. We've got loads of different religions.
Anyway.
regardless, the reason I was mentioning it is because when you walk through town, especially the main high street in West Quay, we've got like two shopping malls. But one of them is the main one, West Quay. And I hate people, but I love persons, because I find that when you meet someone one-on-one, they're awesome. Yeah, it's very rarely I meet someone one-on-one that I really, really vigorously hate. Very rare. But people in groups are just such selfish, thoughtless assholes. And it's so frustrating, because when I don't go into town and interact with the wider populace, I'm very optimistic with humans. I'm very much like, yeah, people are fine, you know, they're kind of dickish, but it's fine. And then you drive and it's like, yeah, some people are a bit dicks, but usually it's one, two driving certain types of cars, so you can kind of spot them most of the time. But when you're walking in town, if I'm not wearing headphones, you can hear half of that conversation, people bump into you and all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, I hate all of you so much. Like, sure. That's why online shopping for me is like, I have no... Online shopping is killing retail, and I'm sorry about that. If people weren't such assholes in public, I would not have to worry about online shopping.
Bulk of my Christmas presents now I just do online. Idea of having to go to a shop around Christmas time, it's like, yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, my wife and I, now that the kids are all grown, and we don't do Christmas at all. Like, we've never given each other gifts, so we just don't do it. We don't participate.
We do £100 limit, I think, normally, and we basically say, yeah, we try and do an experience or something like that. We either do something useful, or an experience, like gigs. Like, I recently got her tickets for her birthday to a comedian called Jimmy Carr, who you guys would have heard of, because English comedy does not travel to America at all.
Not very often. Yeah.
No, very, very rarely. But I got that. That was the main gift. And there was just a couple of other little things. One was just a game and stuff.
But
like,
it's
that.
Cool. But because of coronavirus, some of the presents were delayed in getting here. So my birthday's just been extended.
For like 2 weeks, because you're getting one present.
It's already been a week since my birthday.
Was it last Monday?
It was a week ago today. Yeah,
that's right. Well, happy belated birthday. That's right. you mentioned that, because when we talked about scheduling this, I was like, well, that week is my final week of my term. So that would not have been good. I wouldn't have even known my own last name that day. So that's awesome. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
That's delightful. Yeah, you know, you mentioned experiences and stuff being canceled. We have season tickets like 45 minutes down the road from us. There's a theater on a college campus, and they like do traveling Broadway shows. So we, three of our shows were postponed. Like every weekend in April, except for one, we had tickets to go see something. And two of them, we just found out, are canceled for good. One got rescheduled. The upside is the January show was Hamilton. So we did get that. And then we saw Cats, which was that was my first time seeing Cats. I didn't know what it was. I did not care for it. That was so bizarre.
Yeah.
And like, people were like sobbing uncontrollably when they sang Memories. And I was like, I don't care about any of these.
I saw Cats when I was younger, when I was like really young, like to the point that I don't actually remember much about Cats.
Sure. Well, nothing. There's nothing to remember.
No, right? So then we saw it in the cinema, because my mum wanted to go and see it. The film came out and we were like, okay, we'll go with you. We'll go watch it.
And I've never seen it or anything.
We are super waiting for that to be free on a streaming service, or we can get it on DVD when the library opens. We're not going to spend a dime on that.
No, it is by far the worst film I've ever seen in my life. And it is the only film that I have ever considered walking out of the cinema for. The only reason I didn't was because we were with my mum. Otherwise,
looked at each other.
I would have been out. It was so 15 shit.
Minutes through, I met a big sigh, and then kind of looked at me and chuckled. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was like,
but yeah, my mum, during Memories, my mum was bawling her eyes out. And I was like, oh my God.
That was happening in the theater. We were like, we didn't understand. It just didn't make any sense. But there's a thing, I mentioned this to Mike before, there's a thing called Broadway HD, and you can, they're like doing free. Yeah. And like right now, Miss Saigon is playing free. There's always like one.
Oh, that's so good.
There's always one that's free. And then it's like eight, like there, you can get a free week or a free month or something. And there's a shit ton of musicals on there. Kinky Boots. I can't express to you enough. Kinky Boots is on there. It's the one that they did on the West End over there.
Yeah. Kinky Boots recently came to Southampton.
Have you seen it?
And see it. No, I didn't see it, and I really wanted to.
It's on there. It's something to do while you're trapped in the house. Yeah. It's so good. You know, Cyndi Lauper did the music. It is fantastic. And it's based on a true story. It takes place in England.
On Thursday and Friday, actually, there's one of the theatre production companies in England. They are airing a theatre production of Frankenstein, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller, Johnny Lee Miller's in Elementary and...
No, I know Johnny Lee. He was in Trainspotting.
Yeah. Yeah. And those two, the Thursday... One of the... there's two showings. One of them, Cumberbatch is the monster and Johnny Miller is the doctor. And then the other showing, they're swapped. And Danny Boyle, who directed Trainspotting and Slumdog Millionaire, that sort of thing, he directed it.
Is this online where I can...
It's going to be on Thursday, Friday. No idea if it's available regionally or what it's going to be. I'm going to look that up.
That would be amazing. I like Johnny.
You're going to watch it on Thursday, I think.
He's great. I saw Trainspotting when it came out, and I'm old.
Megan's never seen it. I love it. It's one of my favorite films ever.
Well, I saw it when it came out, you know, and then when the sequel came out, I hadn't watched it since then. Oh. And I almost rewatched Trainspotting, but I didn't. And Trainspotting 2 is such a better movie, having not recently rewatched the first one. It was really emotional because it's like your memory is spotty of what happened, just like the characters. I thought they did a really good job of showing them grow up. I'm really surprised they all came back, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was surprising. My issue with, I'm trying not to say what happens obviously in Trainspotting because Megan hasn't seen it, but like my issue with Trainspotting 2 was because Trainspotting is one of my favorite films ever. And I used to have the poster up, you know, choose life, choose a fucking great television, choose, you know, the whole spiel at the start. I had that on a poster and it's one of my favorite films ever. And then I watched T2, Trainspotting, and I did enjoy it. I thought it was really good, but I just thought it was slightly worse than the first one in basically every way. And there's quite a few films that are like that, that are sequels. And you watch it, it's kind of like when we saw Zombieland 2, completely different types of film. But Zombieland 2 was just like Zombieland 1. But it was just slightly worse in every way. And then it's just like, why would I want to watch the sequel if I can just watch the original, which is better? So that's the problem with me that I found with it. It wasn't different enough. I loved what they did and the characters, but it was
I'm their age, though, I think. I honestly, because I'm the age of those characters.
Yeah.
That meant.
Yeah, because me, it was only a few years difference.
They made that second Trainspotting for us.
Yeah.
And for them, for those actors, that was the first time they really all got back together. So that was all genuine. So I feel like that's the only thing I could say is, you know, put it in a time capsule and open it in 15 years and then watch it again.
Well, it's a similar thing is with Star Wars is obviously where the prequels came back. It was a big disappointment for a lot of people because their love of the originals. But with me, the sequels were my version of your prequels.
Yeah.
I grew up with the prequels and the originals already existing, essentially. I obviously, the prequels were coming out when me and Meg were young. So they were our sort of originals in some way. So when 10 years later, especially after my dad passed and that sort of jazz, 10 years later, there's a new Star Wars, I was like, oh man, because that had been my big gap.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to get. So it's with that, I enjoy the sequels probably more than a lot of other people do because of that anticipation as well.
The nostalgia thing and just that. Yeah. I think as you age and your perspective on those things, it's really, you know, it's really great. But I'm going to need to wrap it up because it's almost.
I was actually about to say, it's getting quite late now. It's past 9 o'clock. So
yeah, sorry about that.
Read each other's minds.
Yeah.
No, you didn't ever need to, never need to apologize, Tony. You're one of my favorite people to talk to. I love it.
Thanks. Well, it was lovely to talk to you, Megan.
Yeah, you too.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Yeah, you too.
It's been awesome, dude.
And the only big announcement, if you can include this part in the show, is what I discovered today, everyone, is at the end of May, it was just confirmed, and I'm putting it out in the universe, which I'm probably jinxing it, but
potentially
Kelly Sue DeConnick, who is best known for essentially rewriting the canon of Captain Marvel, and the Captain Marvel movie was based on her run of Captain Marvel. She wrote an indie comic called Bitch Planet for Image Comics. And so she, at the end of May, is coming on my show, Indie Comic Spotlight, and that'll be out the first Friday in June. So that is super exciting. I just am really geeked. I couldn't believe when I asked, she said yes. So that was confirmed today. So that's exciting to know. It's a month down the line, but I've got lots of great guests lined up. But it's like, you know, that's a big deal.
Well, that's an incredible thing. I just feel bad because I realized I was meant to mention, I'll do it in the intro and stuff. I was meant to talk to you about Indie Comic Spotlight because it's like, we always do this. Whenever we chat, we're like, okay, we have like three things to chat about and we'll do like one and a half of them and then we'll just go off on a big ass tangent.
It's fine. It's that's the point of your show. That's why your show's so good.
Thank you so much. Well, as a Tony, but absolute pleasure. Speak soon.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. As I said in the intro, be sure to go check out Tony's show, Indie Comics Spotlight, on the feed of Comics in Motion, as well as my show on Comics in Motion, Star Wars Comics in Canon. Just to confirm, last week in Star Wars Comics and Canon, it was the episode about Mon Cala, and more specifically, it was the Star Wars Allegiance comic set between episodes 8 and 9, and Mon Cala is where Admiral Ackbar's from. So I'll go into that sort of thing a little bit, and the episode that should be released around the time of this episode being released as well is about the Cassian and K2SO comic, of how Cassian and K2SO from Rogue One met, and also the Beckett comic about the character Tobias Beckett from the Solo film. Coming up in Genuine Chit Chat, I think I've said a few times in these outros, but if you're new to the show, hello. Essentially, I've obviously had this two-parter with Tony Farina of Indie Comics Spotlight. I've also recorded an episode with Scott Weatherly of the 20th Century Geek podcast, as well as Chris Phelps, who's part of the Comics in Motion podcast as well as the VHS Strikes Back and umpteen other podcasts as well. So we speak about wrestling. It's going to be a longer one, but it's only going to be released as one part, I think. I may change that when it comes to editing and stuff, it becomes too much of a hard job to do the whole thing in one go. But there's going to be an episode next week, which is likely to be the wrestling one. It's going to be essentially Scott and Chris telling me what they love about wrestling, because I personally haven't really looked into wrestling very much. I played the games a little bit when I was younger. I've never really been that into wrestling, but Scott used to actually be an amateur wrestler, and they're both very passionate about their love of wrestling. So that's what's going to be out next week. I'm also recording an episode with Dave, who's the other half of Comics in Motion, the other half to Chris Phelps. Dave and Max Byrne are going to be coming on the show. Max is of the Mandatory Marvel and DC podcast, and yeah, we're going to come on, talk about Marvel, DC movies and stuff, I presume. And yeah, then I've got another one recorded in like 2 weeks' time, which is going to be with Chris and Dave about the whole Comics in Motion networky thing that's going on, obviously, with my Star Wars Comics and Canon, Tony's Indie Comics Spotlight, Max's Mandatory Marvel and DC, and the flagship podcast, Comics in Motion. So they're going to be on to explain some of that a little bit more and stuff, but that won't be for at least another month, I think, before that'll be released. And I'm going to be looking into getting some other guests that I've had on the show before in too. But we'll see what happens regarding lockdown. If it starts to get lifted a little bit, it starts to ease a little bit, I may have some of the guests on that I wanted to have on, that I'd be talking to in person anyway. But that's another bridge to cross going forward. There's not really much else for me to say unless I start rambling on, which I don't really intend on doing in this one. I've got some stuff to do today. Not that I don't normally do, I have lots of stuff to do, but I'm on a roll today. I've managed to get this podcasting done, and it's only about 3 p.m. rather than it being, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. That sounds like some sort of run-up to a joke or a song, but it generally is just as normally the time I finish it. Anyway, guys, lovely speaking with you to some degree. Any feedback for the show is appreciated. Contact me on the usual social media channels, spread on social media, tell your friends about it, and if this is your first time listening, the end of this is normally rambly, so apologies, but also go through the back catalogue and see what you can find. A good jumping off point, if you enjoyed this podcast, would be to check out the one I did with Tony Farina. That is episode number 71, I believe. I think it's another two-parter as well. And then go from there. Or you can just contact me and say, look, I listened to these couple podcasts, think these ones are good, listen to this one, wasn't a fan of your show, is there anything else you could recommend? And I'm always happy to. Or go on YouTube and I'll put everything into playlists. Pretty much no one listens on YouTube. Each video gets like 3 views, which isn't a problem. I don't really care. I just put it on YouTube just kind of for the sake of it. But it's annoying that on YouTube I can put it into playlists, and I can't really do that with some of the other podcast sort of apps, unless I specifically go on a really specific podcast app, and on that one specifically I do it. But there's so many new podcast apps that are out that are just, they're cool, but there's like about 10 of them that are all really similar and have very similar features and stuff, and it's just like, I don't really have time to go on every single one individually and upload everything. Anyway, I am rambling, and I said I wouldn't, so lovely speaking with all of you. Hopefully you're tuning into Star Wars Comics and Canon and things, and checking out all the other shows I've been involved in. As I said, I was in the Friends in Your Ears podcast a little while ago, and the Ask Win podcast a little while ago too. So, you know, keep an eye out for them, or just look in the description, because that's where the links to them are. Appreciate all of you listening, and I'll talk to you next week.